Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host, and we're happy to have you joining in with the program today. You know, early in the book of Genesis, Cain killed Abel. And it's clear that Cain was angry because Abel had found favor with God, and it cost Abel his life. But the Bible says that Abel, though even dead, he still speaks. But it's not Abel that speaks, it's others that are speaking for Abel. It's God himself who wrote it down and the writers of the scripture who go back to the story, because once we pass from this world, if we have a story, somebody else has to tell it for us. And that's our guest today. He's going to tell us the story. Our guest is Ted Nettleton with Voice of the Martyrs. He'll tell us a little bit about where Voice of the Martyrs came from and what they do, and we'll talk about some of the stories. But we're giving a voice to those who give their lives for the faith because they can't tell their story anymore, but their story does need to be heard. So, Todd, glad to have you on Peace Talk today.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, your role there at Voice of the Martyrs and how you, perhaps even how you got involved in such a ministry.
Well, this April, it will mark 15 years that I have worked at VOM and have had the chance to do a lot of amazing things and meet a lot of amazing people. But I came to VOM, really, the lady who hired me is the wife of my college roommate. And she was directing communications at VOM, and she came and talked to me and said, hey, we need somebody to tell stories. And I love telling stories, so it just kind of fit perfectly. And I grew up, part of my growing up, on the mission field in Papua New Guinea. I did part of my growing up in Southern California, and so have always kind of had a heart and kind of had one foot in what God is doing outside the United States. So being involved at Voice of the Martyrs has allowed me to kind of keep that heart and that passion for what God is doing around the world. But I still get all the blessings and all the wonderful things that we enjoy by living here in the United States.
Well, I think we that live here in South Carolina would say you grew up on the mission field, whether it was New Guinea or California.
I've heard some people say some interesting things about California, but something about all the fruits and nuts that live there. I don't know,
but I'm sure that they also say the same things about us because we're just people. But let's now get down to something really serious. The Voice of the Martyrs, when did it start?
This past October was actually our 45th anniversary, and we date back to the very first month that Pastor Richard Wormbrand sent out a newsletter about the persecuted church. That's kind of what we identify as the starting point of the Voice of the Martyrs. And Pastor Wormbrand was himself a persecuted Christian. He spent 14 years in prison in communist Romania. Because of his faith in Christ, he was a converted Jew who became a Lutheran pastor, and he spent 14 years in prison for his gospel work. He was actually ransomed out of the country of Romania. Some Christians in the West paid the Romanian government $10,000 to get Richard Wormbrand and his family out of the country. And before he left, the police took him aside and they said, Pastor Wormbrand, you're going to the West. You can go to church all you want. You can talk about God all you want, but don't talk about what we've done to you. Don't talk about the torture. Don't talk about the prison. Don't talk about all of the things that we've done to you. Well, Pastor Wormbrand left the country and immediately began doing exactly what they told him not to do, began sharing the stories of what had happened in those prisons. And more importantly than talking about himself, he talked about the people who were still there, who were still behind the Iron Curtain, were still in those Romanian prisons and Soviet prisons and Russian prisons. And Christians like you and I, we hear that message, and the natural response is, well, we want to help those people. How do we do that? And the Voice of the Martyrs was really founded to be the answer to that question. How do we help them? How do we fellowship with them? How do we encourage them? And I like the picture of a bridge. I really think of Voice of the Martyrs as a bridge between the American church and the church in hostile and restricted nations. And we carry in encouragement, we carry in help, and we carry out the testimonies of those people who are suffering persecution, because it is not a, you know, we think of it as a sad thing and a terrible thing, but their stories include something greater, and that's that God is still at work, and God allows good things to come, even out of bad circumstances.
Well, tell us a little bit. Now, A statistic I heard recently, and let you comment on it and to verify it for me, and of course, if it's not correct, I want you to verify that too, is that Christians are dying for their faith in greater numbers today than they have at any time in human history.
I think that is true. We are very shy about statistics because it's so hard to say, you know, X number of people were killed for their faith last year or this many people are being persecuted. But I think that is true. And one of the statistics that we do use is that more people have died for their faith in Christ in the last 100 years than in all the rest of history before that combined. So it is an issue that is growing. And, you know, there's sort of good news, bad news in that situation. The good news is the church is growing. In these countries where Christians are persecuted, more and more people are choosing to follow Jesus Christ. That's the good news. The bad news is it's coming with a cost, and they pay a heavy, heavy price in order to follow Jesus, in order to be involved in a church, in order to share their faith with their friends and neighbors. They are willing to suffer. They're willing to be arrested and to be beaten and to go to prison, and in many cases even to lay down their lives simply for doing what you and I take for granted. They go to church on Sunday. They gather with other Christians and pray together and sing worship songs. They give somebody a gospel tract and invite them to know Christ. Things that, again, you and I, we don't even think about. We take it so much for granted. They're willing to lay down their lives to do. And I think that's, again, a part of the challenge that comes to us as we fellowship with them, because that challenges us, that really humbles us to think about, okay, what else am I taking for granted because I don't think about what my brothers and sisters face.
Is it fair to say that those places where Christians are most persecuted, that the gospel seems to be most flourishing?
I think that is fair. And again, it's sort of a chicken or an egg question. You know, is there more persecution because the church is growing faster there, or is the church growing faster there because there's more persecution? And I don't know that I can say a definite answer to that, but I think the two do go hand in hand. And I was just reading actually last night in the book of Acts, and it talks about the followers of Christ being scattered from Jerusalem because Saul was coming after them, and so they left Jerusalem and they spread out. And everywhere they went, they shared the story of Jesus, and everywhere they went, churches were planted. And so, you know, did the church grow because there was persecution, or was there persecution because the church grew? It's kind of both. It happens hand in hand. And we see it in the book of Acts. We see it in Iran today. We see it in Afghanistan. We see it in China. That's kind of how the gospel works. And that's really sort of what the New Testament promises. That Jesus said, the world hates me, and if you follow me, the world's going to hate you too. That's what we see coming true around the world. But as you say, the church is still growing, and I think that's really the encouraging news that comes out of this, is the fact that even amidst the persecution and even amidst the heavy price, people are saying, I want to follow Jesus Christ no matter what it costs me.
Well, I think you might say, too, I mean, there is a flip side to that coin, and that is in the places where Christianity is perhaps most accepted, most taken for granted, it also seems that those are the parts of the world that are the hardest to the gospel at this time. Would that be a fair assessment?
I think there's some truth to that, too, and I think, you know, we've elevated in our country the issue of tolerance and, hey, you do what you want to do and I'll do what I want to do, and at the end we'll all just get along. The thing I think about with regards to Americans is we've never had to pay very much for our faith, and so we value it as something we never had to pay for. You know, we value it as something that was just free and it's never been a problem and we've never had a price to pay. If you go to a country where people are laying down their lives, and where the pastor of my church was arrested last week, and this church member over here was killed a few months ago, those people value their faith like something that they would be willing to lay their lives down for. And it's a different mindset. It's a different way of thinking about your faith, and it produces a different kind of Christian and a different way of living for Christ.
Would you comment, when you get this information back or when you discover these areas of persecution, what is the impact on that persecution has on the church's sense of community and of dependence and neediness among themselves and the way they stick together?
It can have two effects, and I think in our work around the world, we've kind of seen both. It can have the effect of really driving the church together and kind of forging unity, and I think that's really the optimal. That's what we'd love to see. One of the things that's very interesting to me is it breaks down denominational barriers. It's not about, well, wait a minute, he's Baptist and I'm not Baptist, so it's about, hey, he stands for Christ. He went to jail last week. I need to help his family. I'm not that interested in what their denominational background is. I'm interested in the fact he was willing to stand for Christ and he went to jail. So therefore, he's my brother and I'm going to stand with him. That's the good side. Now, there is some issues with breaking down some of that unity, and actually I've just had a conversation in the last couple of weeks with some Iranian Christians, and one of the things that's happening in Iran is the government is working very hard to infiltrate the house churches, and so there is really a sense of caution and distrust when anyone shows up new at a meeting or contacts some of the church leaders. It's like, wait a minute, who are you? What happened? Where did you hear about us? How did you get my phone number? Because they have to be so cautious because the government is actually training people to infiltrate the house churches. So, you know, they know a few Bible verses. They know a few Christian songs. They sound like a Christian. But the government is training them to do that, and that is producing some distrust and disunity within the church because they are facing this issue of, okay, wait a minute, if we welcome this guy into our congregation, he might be a spy. We might all get arrested. So that's kind of the downside of it, and it does happen. I think that's the minority. I think the bulk of the time it really builds the unity of the body of Christ because Christians tend to stand together in the face of persecution. But there are some cases where it really makes people cautious and even a little bit distrusting because the risk is so great.
Well, I take it then, Todd, that what we should gain from that right now, and we're coming up to the time when we have to take a break, is that what Voice of the Martyrs would like us to understand as American believers is that our fellow Christians in other parts of the world are under tremendous pressure. They don't always make the right choice. They don't always do the right thing. And they really do need us to pray. They really do need us to support them and give them whatever help they can because they live in very stressful and very pressured times.
I think that's absolutely true. And the first thing they would ask is that we pray for them. They very much understand the power of prayer and the power of prayer to reach around the world. And so, you know, when we go and we meet with them, we always ask that question, okay, we're going back to the United States, we're going to talk to Christians, how can they help you? The first thing they ask of us is that we pray for them. And interestingly, it's not, you know, pray that the suffering will stop, pray that the persecution will stop. What they're asking is pray that I will be faithful to Christ in spite of the challenges and in spite of the persecution that I face.
Our guest today is Todd Nettleton with Voice of the Martyrs. We have to take our break. It seems like the time is just flying by, but when we come back, we're going to talk about how Voice of the Martyrs, how they actually are the voice of the martyrs to the Western Church, some of the things that they do and how we could participate in the work of Voice of the Martyrs. So join us in 2 minutes. We'll be right back. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
Would you please welcome the pride of Alexandria, Indiana, your host, Bill Gaither.
Hey, thanks, Phil, and welcome to Homecoming Radio. Do we ever have a great show for you?
You can hear some of the great Christian music you grew up with Bill Gaither's Homecoming Radio, heard every Sunday evening at 5 o'clock on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. But I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching and great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing Peace Talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com, you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com, you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. Glad to have you. If you stayed with us through the break, glad to have you back. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Todd Nettleton, a voice of the martyrs, and we're talking about martyrdom and the witnesses in the world today, and how Voice of the Martyrs is telling their story to help encourage and build up the church. So welcome, Todd. Let's pick it up right there, Todd. When you come to a church, or when you do something, when you send out information, are you just trying to make us American Christians feel guilty?
Absolutely not. I hope that guilt is not what we produce at all. And I think what comes, and I think it's easy to think that way, and it's easy to think, well, you know, why would I want to hear about people being tortured and killed? That just doesn't sound like a good time at all. What you hear about, though, is you hear about the faithfulness of God, and you read the stories. And I've just been working this week on a story about Iran for our newsletter that's going to be coming up. And, you know, one of the testimonies that I'm reading through is of a guy who, even in jail, he's sharing his faith with the other people. And, in fact, in one case, he shared his faith with two guys who were handcuffed. After he shared his faith, he prayed with these two guys. They received Christ. The police came and said, you know what? We've decided we're not going to keep you. You're free to go. And so literally he was there for 15 minutes. And in that 15 minutes, he managed to lead these two hardcore criminals to Jesus Christ. When you read a testimony like that, it is not discouraging at all. I think it's incredibly encouraging and incredibly challenging to us as we try to live out that same faith here in our home in the United States.
Well, one of the things that Peace Talk tries to do, and we talk about this, that you read the stories in the Bible, and you know, you read what about Paul was in jail and the jailer came to know Jesus and his family, and we tend to put those things as 2,000 years away. But the same God that saved a jailer in Paul's day is saving jailers and criminals in our day. The stories of the Bible, they may have ended there, but the story of God is still going on.
Absolutely.
And those miracles are still happening.
I think our brothers and sisters that live amidst persecution experience that in a little, I don't know, I don't want to say a deeper way, but maybe in a more real way, because that's the story of the New Testament. That's how those Christians lived. You know, people were hunting for them. People were arresting them. They were being thrown in jail. And so the context that's in the New Testament is something that is very understandable to Christians in restricted nations, because that's exactly how they're living right now today.
Well, tell us a little bit then about Voice of the Martyrs, because you give a voice to these people who couldn't come to our churches. They couldn't come to America and go on tour telling about what's happening, but you can tell that story. How does Voice of the Martyrs do that?
Well, there's several ways that we do that. One is our newsletter. We send it out free every month to anybody who asks for it from us. Another way that we do that is through regional conferences, and we've got one coming up in Greenville on the 19th. This is a place, it'll be for a Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at a church there in Greenville, Southside Fellowship. And it's free. Again, we want to tell the stories. This is a part of our ministry, to connect the American church with the church in restricted nations. So that day, there will be people who are working in Colombia. Gracia Burnham, who is going to be there, who was a hostage in the Philippines. A lady from the church in China is going to be there. It's really a chance to meet with some folks who firsthand have experienced what it means to be persecuted for your faith in Christ, and how God comes through and how he uses those situations to do great things for us and to build his church.
Well, I'm registered for the seminar. That it's January the 19th here in Greenville, South Carolina. But you have these conferences all over the country. So how can people find out about these conferences? How can they actually make arrangements to get your newsletter?
The website for the conferences is vommeetings.com, vommeetings.com. And again, the conferences are free, but we do ask people to register ahead of time just so we kind of know how many people to plan for. How to get the newsletter is very simple. Our website, the main VOM website, is persecution.com. It's very easy to remember, persecution.com. Right on the front page, there's a link to sign up for the newsletter. And again, that is also free. We want Christians in America to be connected with their brothers and sisters around the world. And so that's a part of our ministry, is to equip the American church so that they can pray effectively and minister to our brothers and sisters who live in hostile and restricted nations.
Todd, you mentioned that you get this information, but it comes from places where information doesn't freely move around. So how do you find out about these stories in these restricted countries?
Over the past 45 years that VOM has been in existence, we have developed contacts within the local church and within the local community inside these countries. We have staff that travel, they go, they sit down, they drink tea, they talk, and we always come with the attitude of how can we help the local church. It's not about, you know, hey, this is what VOM does and you need to get on board with our program. It's very much, what do you need from us? How can we stand with you amidst the persecution that you face? And so sometimes that's printing Bibles and delivering Bibles. Sometimes it's medical care for people who have been injured by persecution. Sometimes it's various other things, radio broadcast, even in some cases digging water wells because the local community will not allow Christians to get water from the public water supply. So we come in with the idea of, hey, how can we stand with you? How can we help you? And we work directly with local church pastors and leaders to connect us with the body of Christ in that country.
And of course, when you do that, then you find out stories of what's been going on in that country, huh?
We do. And, you know, the internet really has revolutionized our work. When I first came, was sort of pre-email, and, you know, we'd get stuff through the mail that would take 2 or 3 weeks, and maybe it would get lost in the mail. Today, we can hear about an incident this morning and have pictures on our website this afternoon. It really is that fast, and we have very brave people in these countries who are there with a camera or with a phone, and they're emailing us information, even though they know this, they're putting themselves at risk in order to report what's happening with the church in their country.
A lot of what we do here on Peace Talk is bring stories about what God is doing in the world. So why don't we take some time right now and encourage our hearts by telling us some of the stories that you've become aware of in the last few weeks or months.
Well, one of the great stories that we are celebrating this week is the release of Eva Abdullah. Eva Abdullah is a young lady in the country of Tanzania in Africa. And over the weekend, the High Court in Tanzania threw out the charges against her. She had been charged with desecrating a copy of the Quran, and she had been sentenced to 2 years in prison for that alleged crime. Over this past weekend, the High Court threw out those charges and allowed her to go free. This is an incredible answer to prayer and an incredible testament to what it means when Christians around the world will really speak out on behalf of an imprisoned Christian. Eva was one that we had featured on our website, prisoneralert.com, which encourages people to write letters to Christians who are in prison. So we know that people had written letters to her, they had written letters to the Tanzanian government, and really that, along with our prayers, has produced a really phenomenal result of her being set free and the charges against her being completely dropped. This is a huge praise the Lord.
So do you find out that oftentimes, even all the way back to Pastor Wormbrandt, is that the exposure of what is going on in some of these places in the world helps put an end to it and helps give some relief to believers?
It can. Sometimes it doesn't, but most of the time it does. But even if it doesn't result in directly in better treatment, it results in encouragement. And one of the stories that we've covered this year is the story of a man named Boone in Laos. And he received bucketfuls of mail. He ended up spending 13 years in prison, so he was in jail for a long time. But he talked about, after he was released from prison, being called to the warden's office, and the warden brought in these baskets of letters and said, why are you getting all this mail from the United States? Why are you getting mail from Australia? Who do you know in Canada? And He never let Boon Chan read even one of the letters, but he left the room with a smile on his face because he knew somebody was caring about him, somebody was writing to encourage him, somebody was praying for him. So even, you know, in that case, he didn't get to read the letters. In other cases, we've heard that people aren't even allowed to see the letters, but they hear the guards talking about, man, this person's getting a lot of mail. That's an incredible blessing and encouragement. And as you say, oftentimes it does result in better treatment because the guards, the warden, the government officials are saying, wait a minute, the world is watching how we treat this person. We need to be careful and not do anything to bring shame on our country or on our government or even on us personally. So it does, most of the time, result in better treatment for the prisoner as well.
You said something that's very important, and we all experience that, I think. We all get discouraged, and just the thought that somebody knows about us, and sometimes more than the fact that God knows about us, that another human being, another member of the community is aware and is concerned, is that fact in itself is encouraging and helps lift these persecuted believers up, doesn't it?
It is an incredible blessing, and I think, you know, the scripture talks about when one part of the body suffers, we are all supposed to feel that pain. We're all supposed to be connected to that. And if we ignore the persecuted church, we are not, we've lost that connection. We can't feel the pain that they feel. And when we are connected and when we do that and when we pray for them and when we write letters and when we call the embassy and complain about their treatment, we are connected in with that. And they do draw incredible encouragement from that and knowing I am not forgotten. There's people who are remembering me. There's people who are praying for me. There's people who are lifting me up. That is an incredible blessing, and I don't think we can overstate the impact that that has to help them to hold on to their faith and be encouraged and stand strong as they face persecution.
So it's actually a gift from God when we find out about what our brothers are doing, because it helps us fulfill our role as part of the body of Christ to feel the pain, to weep with those that weep, and then be able to rejoice with those that rejoice. Todd, before we go, and we're right down to the end of the program, tell us again, how can you register, find out about, and register for a Voice of the Martyrs conference, and how can you get the newsletter?
The website for the conference is vommeetings.com, vommeetings.com, and again, they're free. We just want you to register so we kind of know how many to account for. The newsletter is on our main website, which is persecution.com, and again, that's also free. We want people to know. We want them to be connected with the body of Christ around the world.
Okay, and this won't mean much to the internet listeners of Peace Talk, but those that are in the Christian Talk 660 audience, the conference at Southside Fellowship is January the 19th. You can go to the VOM meetings and you can register for that conference. And I would encourage you, I'm registered for it. I am looking forward to it. I expect to be encouraged. I expect to be challenged. I expect to find out something about my faith that will help me grow in my knowledge of what God's doing in the world and be an encouragement to me. And I invite you, go to Voice of the Martyrs website and find out how you can hear their voice and how you can lift them up and enjoy your part of the fellowship of God. So thank you for being a part of Peace Talk today. Remember, as always, this is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.